Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you to Living on Every Word.
Worship and sing a song of praise. Come into His house of joy sustained. Living on Every Word.
So that He Himself might come to have first place in everything. He is to be first place. And what that means is that every decision you make, every financial decision you make, whether it's spending, giving, saving, whether it's in your job or in your work or in your marriage or any other area, He is to be first place. I want to ask you, are you living that way today?
Living on every word.
Living on every word.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We have been looking at, over the past several weeks, becoming faithful stewards of the things that God has given to us. And the question that we've been asking is are we faithful stewards with the things that God has given to us? And how in the world do we become the faithful stewards that God desires? We looked last week at the very first principle of what will make us great faithful stewards is living a God-centered life and not a self-centered life. And that the problem in most people's lives is that they walk in this selfishness and this self-centeredness and all these other areas of life, and then they wake up miserable, wake up worried and fearful and depressed. Why? Because we're not living a God-centered life. And when we come to this idea of being faithful stewards of what God has given to us by way of spending those resources and giving those resources, the question is God truly the center of our life? Is He supreme in our possessions? What a wonderful attitude. When I give to something or give to someone, whether it's my time, whether it's my giftedness, whether it's my talent, whether it's from my pocketbook, I realize this giving is not about me. It is not about my finances. It's about God being first place in everything in my life. That's what this message is about today. That's what this series on stewardship is all about. It's God who is supreme. And the question that I ask is, are you living a self-centered life or is it a God-centered life? If you're living a self-centered life, I want to just tell you this. You're miserable, and that's the reason why you are miserable. That's why you are worried and walk in anxiety. That's why you are depressed, because it's self-centered. Centered on me, myself, and I, and nothing really else. And folks, when you live in that self-centered world, I want to tell you, you're living a life that is not productive. You're living a life that's not bringing glory to God. Jesus Christ came to be first place in your life. Why? Not because He's some egotistical maniac. It's because He knows if He's first place that you'll receive all the blessings of the kingdom of God. All the blessings. So I ask the question, are we self-centered or are we God-centered? And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, it says that He delivered us from the domain of darkness. And can I tell you, that's what selfishness is all about. It's living in the domain of darkness. Think about it. Think about in your life when you live for self, how dark it becomes for you. How miserable you are. The Scripture says, listen, He delivered you. He snatched you out. He took you out. If you're in Christ today, if you've received Him into your life, if you've repented of your sins and put this trust and faith in Christ and what He did 2,000 years ago, then He delivered you from the domain of darkness and He transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. And then He says, when He's done this, you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Verse 16, for by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by Him and for Him. And when we get this two-year-old mindset out of our minds and hearts, that it's about me and mine, and we begin to really see that God has created us and everything that He's given for Himself, for His glory and His honor. So that everything that you have in this life, everything that He has given, is not just for you. It's for Him and His glory and His honor. And when we come to this point of being God-centered with our stuff and with our things and with our thinking, and we live the life of actually Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, when you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then everything else is added unto you. Everything you need is added unto you. And that word added means He gives and He gives and He gives and He gives for His glory, for His honor, for His wonder and His awe. He says, and He is before all things in verse 17, and in Him all things hold together. Folks, you don't hold things together. You may think you hold things together. You may think that you're a great boss, a great employer. But I want to tell you, without the grace of God, it would all fall apart in a moment. You don't hold all things together. Now, you walk in a diligence and you walk in a faithfulness to what God's called you to do as stewards. But it's Him who's holding it all together. He says that He is the head of the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that, here it is, so that He Himself might come to have first place in everything. In everything. In your life, in your marriage, in your life with your children, in your finances, in your jobs and in your businesses, He is to be first place. And what that means, that every decision you make, every financial decision you make, whether it's spending, giving, saving, whether it's in your job or in your work or in your marriage or any other area, it's because He is first place and He is preeminent in your life. I want to ask you, are you living that way today? Or do you live still this self-centered life? And He doesn't have first place, but you have first place. Are you first place or is God first place? Do you live this God-centered life? Turn to Matthew chapter 25, and I want to show you what a God-centered life looks like and a self-centered life looks like. And we looked at the parable of the talents the last couple of weeks, and who was the good steward and who was the wicked steward. But in chapter 25, after all the parables of the kingdom are spoken, in verse 31, Jesus speaks of the last judgment. Now, you remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how every one of us are going to appear before the throne room of Christ, and we're going to give an account to everything that we ever said and done, good or bad. Everything that you have ever said and done, you and I will give an account to our great God. We will stand before Him. Now, the good news is that those of us who have Christ, the blood covers, and the blood brings redemption and forgiveness, but you will still give an account to the things that you said and the things that you did. And at this last judgment, this great judgment, the Scripture says in verse 31, when He comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He'll sit on His glorious throne. And then all the nations will be gathered before Him. And He will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Now, He's going to put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Big question for every one of us today. Am I a sheep or am I a goat? Am I a sheep or am I a goat? I'm going to tell you what a sheep does. A sheep hears the voice of his shepherd and he follows that shepherd and he doesn't follow any other voice. That's what the description of God's sheep is, okay? You know, I don't care what kind of experience you've had in the past. What's happening in your life is going to be the defining moment and the defining things of your life. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. They follow the shepherd. They're not sheep-centered. They're shepherd-centered. God-centered. To hear the voice that says, I'm listening and I'm following. Are you listening and following? Because one day He will separate the sheep from the goats. And this is what He'll say. The King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Why? Listen to this, folks. 35. Because I was hungry and you gave. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave. You gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you served me. You invited me, this stranger, into your life. I was naked, and you gave clothes to me. I was sick, and you gave your time to me, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came, and you visited me. And the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger invite you in or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick? Or when did we see you in prison and we came to you? Lord, we didn't see you. And Jesus says, the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the very extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, listen, even the least, you were doing it to me. Ultimately, you lived a God-centered life by giving and clothing and feeding and giving water and giving your life. You giving your life as Christ would give His life. You did it to me, even the least, even the poorest, even the dirtiest, even the vilest. You were doing it to me. Folks, when we understand this Christ-centered life and that the things that we do, that we're doing them to Christ, when you fuss and when you argue with your spouse, you're doing it to Christ. When you speak evil of somebody in your life, some friend or some enemy, you're doing it to Christ. Whether good or evil, you're doing it to Him. That's very sobering, folks. And guess what? Sheep do these wonderful things for people unto Christ. They give and they give and they give of their lives. Why? Because that seed of Christ lives in Him, in you, and in me. And because He lives in me, the very seed, the very life that flows through me. Folks, that's very characteristic of our great God. He is a giver. He's a giver. Scripture says, and then He turns to the left and He says, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Because listen, I was hungry and you didn't give me anything to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me in. I was naked, and you didn't clothe me, and I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me. And they themselves also will answer, saying, Lord, when we didn't see you, if we would have seen you hungry, Lord, we would have come right to your aid and given you our next meal. Lord, I would have given you the shirt off my back to clothe you if I saw you naked. I would have come to visit you in prison. I would have come to the hospital to see you when you were sick. Lord, we never saw you like that. How can you judge us? We never saw you like that. And yet He'll say, listen to me. To the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these that you saw in this need and you saw the responsibility that I gave to you when I gave you these gifts and these things, then you didn't do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Folks, thus says the Lord, not Mike Fritcher. Folks, you know if you come here that all we're going to do is we're going to look scripture after scripture after scripture. And I may comment a little bit, but this is the Word of God. And I want you to notice a God-centered people and a self-centered people. And a God-centered person, he knows that God has given him all things. Scripture even says it. It says it in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. And you don't need to turn there, but there's one phrase that He says to the disciples. You have received freely of me. You have received freely of me, and then therefore, as you have received freely from me, you go and you give it away. That word freely in Matthew 10:8 says it is as a present, as receiving something for nothing in return. You didn't buy it, you didn't earn it. And in the same way that you received it freely, you give it away freely with no expectation of receiving anything back in return. Because that's how God is, folks. That's how God is. And do I live that kind of life? How in the world do I become someone that freely gives? Well, I want to tell you, the way you do is you realize that you've freely received. What are the wonderful things that God has given to us that we have received as believers, as Christians? Now, a few weeks ago, we looked at some things that God has given, but I want to do a couple more here today. And I want to ask you, do you realize how significant these are that God has freely given you? The first thing that He's given to you is His Son. He has given you Jesus. Y'all know that verse? God, He so loved the world that He, what? He gave His only begotten Son. He gave that whoever believes in Him would never ever perish but would have eternal. Did you notice in the parable who had eternal life? You know what? These are folks who had Jesus, who demonstrated Jesus. That's just the bottom line. They demonstrated Christ in their lives. They demonstrated the love and the life and the giving of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:32 says, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? The Scripture says that He spared His Son and He's going to keep on giving and giving you everything that you need. He has given us His Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. He gives us good things, my friends. Psalm 84, 11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace, He gives glory, and no good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. He gives eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift, the free gift, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. He has given you everything you need. His divine power has granted to you everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. By these He granted to us, He gave us precious and magnificent promises in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. And you know what's interesting? You go from John 3:16 to 1 John chapter 3:16. And you know what this says? Notice up here. It's very important. We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us. Folks, He gave His life for us. And we ought to lay down, we ought to throw down our lives for the brethren. We ought to give our lives away to the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? How does the seed of God abide in him? How does the grace of God abide in him? How does the mercy of God abide in him? If he has and he is not giving, how can you say that the grace of God abides in you and the love of God abides in you when you neglect the very basics of giving of your life away and your resources and your finances? How can this be? With all that God has freely given, His Son, His Spirit, His good things, eternal life, everything that we need to live godly and holy lives, how in the world can that be? And how in the world do we come to this point in our lives that as we have freely received, we freely give? Well, I want to tell you, you do this first point here through a God-centered life, and I want to tell you, everything else will flow. Everything else will flow. You know what else will flow? I'm going to tell you, you'll be a giver. You'll be a giver of your life. You'll be a giver of your time. You'll be a giver of your finances, of your giftedness, of your talents. You will do nothing but want to give. And the reason why you want more money is not so that you can save it up and spend it on yourself. It's because so that you can spend it on somebody else. That's where freedom comes, folks. That's the freedom of God. A God-centered life that gives and gives and gives and gives. How do we do this? Turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 27. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. I want you to know just right up front as we read this passage that this is a message about giving your life and your resources. This word is about giving of your life and your talent and your time and your finances unto God. And when I come to this passage and I see how do we become the faithful stewards of God, and I want you to notice what he says in the context of what we're going to get down to verse 38 where it says, given will be given to you. What is the context of that? Notice what it says. The context is relationship. And he says, I say to you who hear, love your enemies. And that's a present imperative. And it means to love them and keep on loving them. And it says, do good to those who hate you. And then bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. And at that point, we just want to close our Bibles up and say, you know what, preacher? I got a pair of scissors that I'm just going to cut that out because I can't live that. Are you kidding me, God? You've got to be kidding me. Lord, how in the world Can I ever move to this standard in my lifestyle of giving? Because folks, that's what giving's all about. If you're going to love your enemies, if you're going to do good to those who hate you, if you're going to bless those who curse you and pray for those, listen to me, pray for those who mistreat you. Lord, if I'm going to do that, Lord, I'm going to need something a whole lot bigger than Mike Fritcher to do this. Because Mike Fritcher in his flesh does not want to do this. And neither do you. But by the Spirit of the living God, by the seed of God, by the Lamb of God who took away the sins, who made propitiation, who made atonement for your sins and my sins of selfishness and wrongdoing and all these things that we have ever done of our that comes out of our old nature and our old man, I want to tell you there's the power of God to be able to be Christ-like. Who did you know what Jesus did, folks? Do you know what He loved His enemies. Guess what? When He loved you, you were an enemy. Isn't that good? While I was an enemy, He loved me. When we persecuted, when we said evil things about our God, when we questioned His sovereign work in our lives, you know what He was doing? He was loving you. He was blessing you. He was praying for you. He was serving you. Folks, this is the Christ-like life. It's right here. And I want to ask you, are you doing that today? Are you doing it? See, I just find it so incredible to me that all of a sudden He doesn't say, love your wife here, or love your best friends here, or love your family here, and do good to them and bless them. He's saying, do this to your enemies. This is the standard of Christ. And what's so wonderful about this passage of Scripture, He'll go on and He'll say, listen, whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other. Whoever takes away your coat, don't withhold your shirt. Give to him. Give to everyone who asks of you. Whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. And just as you want people to treat you, you treat them in the same way. And if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even pagans do that. Even pagans love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that? Even the sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to return, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And notice this, your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High God. You'll be sheep of the Living Shepherd. You'll be sons of the Most High God. You'll be a chip off the old block. Amen. You'll look just like your daddy. And folks, I don't know about you, but I want to look like my daddy. I'm tired of looking like something else, aren't you? Don't you want to look like him in every area of your life? And he says, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. And do not judge, and you'll not be judged. And do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you'll be pardoned. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It's going to pour into your lap. Because by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Notice, folks, a God-centered life in verse 36 will be merciful just as the Father is merciful. And what we need to understand is if I'm going to become a faithful steward, I become a faithful steward through mercy and a compassionate lifestyle. By removing all judgment and condemnation and by walking in forgiveness. If I have judgment and condemnation, I can't love my enemies. I'll be too critical of them. If I have judgment and no mercy in my life, I will never, ever, ever minister to anybody who's persecuted me or spoken evil of me. Folks, that's why when you look at the posture of giving and true giving of your resources, you better make sure that you're doing it through a merciful and compassionate lifestyle by removing all judgment and condemnation from your life. See, I'm to be merciful and compassionate and remove all the judgment and condemnation. I need to realize that when I judge, I'm going to be judged back in the same measure. When I'm critical of somebody, it's going to come back on me. This is the principle of the kingdom. It's called the law of return. We're going to be talking more about it next week. It's what I give, I get back. I cast my bread in the water, and the Scripture says it's going to come back to me. It's going to come back to me. The problem is what kind of bread are you casting? Is it fresh, homemade bread, or is it stale, moldy bread? You cast this bread on the water, and it will always come back. Whatever you give, whatever you plant, that's what you're going to come up with in your life. And not only is it going to come up in your life, it's going to come up in your sons and your grandchildren's lives. This is the law of return, folks. You see it over and over and over in Scripture. And folks, that's why we've got to come to this point that we're getting all judgment out and all condemnation, and we're walking in forgiveness. Why is that? Well, first of all, it's not your giving that finds blessing. It's the heart that gives that God blesses. Did you hear that? It's not your giving. Folks, we got people who can give all their possessions to feed the poor, but they don't have love, the Scripture says, and it profits them absolutely nothing. Give everything they have. They can be a great philanthropist. The reason why we're not blessed in our giving, I'm going to tell you this, is because we are self-centered in our giving. And how can God bless a self-centered life? He can't. And often this self-centeredness is manifested in our judgment of people, in our broken relationships, in our critical spirit, in our unforgiveness. You get this right, then you'll be a giver of God's Spirit, and the blessings of God will flow in your life. The reason why we're not blessed, because we have not gotten to this first point. When you get to this point here, when you God-centered and you remove judgment and condemnation and you begin to walk in forgiveness through a merciful and compassionate lifestyle, then you know what? Your lifestyle of giving will be wonderful. Let me ask you, do you think maybe that things are going so rough for you financially and there's literal holes in your purses and holes in your pockets and holes in your wallet that the minute you put that in and it's gone? Anybody got purses like that? Anybody got wallets like that? Anybody got pockets like that? Well, I'm not saying that this is always the case, but could it be because we're not practicing God's principles of economy and giving and stewardship? When you give the first, according to God's plan of economy, I want to tell you, you'll be blessed. When you give it with this merciful and compassionate lifestyle, it may be difficult for a couple of years still financially. Maybe God's just showing you that. But I know that when we walk through our life, and I know that the days and the months that we didn't know where the next dime comes from, it doesn't mean that you don't hurt financially. What it does mean is that you are doing what God has called you to be, and you're being obedient. And folks, let me tell you, when you plant the seed, do you have fruit on it the next day? When you plant corn, are you going to have corn on the cob from that plant the next day? No. It's going to be a few months, isn't it? It's going to be a few months when you reap. I want to tell you, some of that's going to be faith for you. It's a blessed faith adventure. And all the wonderful, powerful things God does through sheep who hear the voice of God and follow Him and make Him supreme and eminent even in their giving and even in their finances. Would you bow with me in prayer right now? Let me ask you, how has this message spoken to your heart today? How has it? You know, there's a number of things that we looked at today. Maybe it's just for you that you need to be just at the beginning where it says, you know what? We're not living a very God-centered life. Life's been about us. And Mike, that's where you've lost me, because I can't get past the first one. Maybe there's somebody in your life that you're not right with. You're just not right with. And God's saying, yeah, go make that right. Go make it right. And then come and present your offering. Others of you have ignored the principle of giving. And you know, I don't know why. It doesn't matter why. But I tell you, just as I said earlier, I look at this passage of Scripture, I look at these words, and I say, this is not the word according to Mike Fritcher. It's the word of God. Do you know that Scripture speaks of prayer 500 times and speaks of money 2,000 times? Do you think maybe God wants to get our attention? So I can't ignore that anymore. I got to tell you, the principles of God's word and where blessings truly come from.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.